right, here we are.
Another episode of Allegedly, and Theo Von is back.
Yeah. Thank you.
We've missed you, Theo.
Have you?
Yeah. Well, I miss you.
That Abby Lee episode, that seemed intense.
Yeah,
huh?
It was intense. It was the first person we've ever had cry, I think.
Besides you, maybe.
Besides me in the podcast. I didn't set out to make her cry. Crying was a byproduct of what happened, but I felt for her. I really felt for the woman. She kind of like laid it out there.
And does she have any children? I never even checked that. She
no,
doesn't.
No.
That's a bummer.
And she's single.
Is she barren or not?
Is she barren? I don't know. We didn't get that personal.
Really?
But I do know she's single, Theo, if you're interested.
Well, look, no, she stood us up, man. She was supposed to come a couple of times to do the podcast, and she stood us up. One night, we waited here for 2 hours.
But she made it. She made it. And,
yeah, she made it. She was about 8 months late.
And Ari's back, too.
I'm back, baby.
Ari was in Tanzania.
That's not how you pronounce it. Tell him, Ari.
Wait, I thought that was how you pronounce it.
What'd you say, Matt?
Tanzania?
Nope.
No?
Tanzania?
Tanzania.
Tanzania, okay. I'm
going to believe the guy who was just there.
No, well, Theo was there, too, a while back.
Yeah, but it's changed since then.
Yeah.
Maybe there's two different pronunciations. I don't know.
Well, seeing that you just said pronunciations, I'm going to go with the way that
Wait, how do you say pronunciations?
Pronunciations?
Damn it. Okay. Theo's right. Okay. We're just going to go with Theo.
But to freshen everybody up, Ari Manis, our sidekick here, has just, you just climbed the highest point in Africa.
That's right. Fourth highest point in the world, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Kilimanjaro, which Theo did as well two years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Did you see remnants of Theo as you were walking up?
You know, I felt his presence.
There you go.
I felt the essence of Theo.
It could have been a little semen I sprayed up out there a couple times.
Did you? Did you jerk off at the campsites? Or?
Actually, you know what? I don't think I did. I don't think I felt.
I was sharing a tent with my two younger brothers, so I did, but I had to keep it really quiet.
Wow. What was it like? Did you have a good time, Ari? Tell us about that.
You know, overall, it was a positive experience. It was I didn't expect it to be that hard because basically anybody could do it, and they have different level of difficulty things up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
What I found out is if any of your listeners are thinking about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, do the shortest route you can, because they trick you into taking a longer route because they say it's easier. No matter what route you take, there's really only one day hike up the mountain. The days prior, you're just hiking to the base camp. And then once you get to base camp, it's one day up, which was very hard. That day, I wanted to quit so bad, but I just had too much pride to tell everyone
back
home that I didn't make top. I made it to the top. I wanted to cry when I got there. And
You wanted to cry?
I did, because it was so hard. And I think I had altitude sickness. And by the time I got to the top, I was almost in tears just because it was over. I'm like, thank God it's over. I don't want to do this anymore.
Good job, dude. And
so it was really hard for me.
I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm really impressed.
So if any of you are going, me personally, me and Theo disagree on this, I wouldn't recommend it to people.
Wow.
What about them Sherpas? Any cute Sherpas out there?
We had 24 porters for the five of us.
And those are Sherpas, so those are
24 for
the most luxurious way to go up the mountain. We did. We had a professional chef.
Were you carrying a car? You had a professional chef?
Yeah, follow us up the mountain. We had a waiter. We had someone carrying our tent. Someone carrying all my stuff. It was the best way you could do it. And they were in t-shirts and jeans, passing us up while we were just in the top of the line REI gear.
Impressive.
And they got paid $15 a day.
Wow. No. Wow.
Well, we're going to shut you down, bro. Look, I had a big urban woman who would chew food in the morning and then spit it in her mouth around 11 a.m.
I think I'd rather have that.
We had a different experience. We'll be right back with David Spade on Allegedly. You wear underwear every day. Well, most of us do. But it's time to try something better. MeUndies has created the world's most comfortable underwear. That's right. Bitchin' britches. With a blend of fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. How much softer? 3 times. When you feel awesome from the inside out, you look awesome from the outside in. So step up your undies game, because everyone wins. MeUndies is made from Modal, a fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton. And from Allegedly, for a limited time, MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first order at MeUndies.com/funny. FUNNY. That's right, MeUndies.com/funny. Support the podcast. Get your undies game up. Let's go on to round one.
All right, everybody, and welcome to Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss, and...
I'm Theo Vaughn.
And we have a great guest today who I have hounded for over a year to be on this podcast, and he's finally here, Mr. David Spade.
Yeah.
Big wind-up to be sorely disappointed.
No.
And that's an appropriate term, hounded, isn't it, David?
It was pretty bad, yeah. Actually, there's a woman I know at Lip Sync Battle that I'm talking to a lot, too. About doing lip sync battle.
Oh, wow.
But most people don't want me on stuff, so I like it when people do. I want to do a lot of stuff. I just, sometimes it falls into promoting something. I mean, it's just fun to sit here and talk, but
right.
I think I don't want to put the audience to tears immediately unless there's a reason.
It also became a thing between us.
Yeah, it was funny because
we were having fun because he'd say like, "Oh, I'll come in like 2022 right. or things like this that just kept
but
going.
I'm not, I'm not good at friends, especially girls, that just go, oh, they have like 19 texts. They go, oh, I just don't answer. I go, it hits me weird when I just don't answer someone if I know them.
Like, right.
I know you guys a little bit, not great, but I go, it's such a shitty move to not answer someone.
It meant a lot.
So once you answer, then you're on the hook. Then
I kept looping them in. I'd hook them in with something.
Then the walls close.
Completely separate. And then I'd go, by the way, when are you coming in?
It's always a trick, like a compliment. You were good at this, really?
I fell for that.
And then I'm like, oh.
He was an answer on Jeopardy, actually, David Spade. And I took a picture. I was like, hey, check it out. He's like, oh, really cool. I was like, oh, the answer.
Hey, by the way.
When are you coming in?
Yeah.
And
the funny thing was, then I'd see him here at the comedy store. I'm like, Matt is such a creepy hawk, isn't he?
Oh, he's yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go, you know what?
I'm right here.
Come with me. I'll take care. Yeah, just we'll stay away from him.
Well,
I'm like, oh, then I felt safe.
And here we are.
Well, here you are. All right. So the way our podcast works is it's a competitive podcast where you not only serve as the interview subject, but the judge. And it's three quick rounds. Three rounds.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. First round is Theo and I each have 3 minutes to tell a story about something that's happened to us.
Okay.
You get to judge based on whatever criteria you want,
sure.
which you like better. The second round is the interview where we'll take turns asking you questions. The third round is a mini competition based on our guest, which we will get to at the end.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
So we can, and by the way, we have David. Fresh, are the wounds like healed? This is fresh off the roast.
Off the roast.
Off the roast. Like literally.
We watched last night here. The whole porch was watching.
That's what Adam Egan said. The whole porch. That sounded. He said there was some laughs. Sorry. He said there was some laughs. And I watched it at home. I had people in town, but I watched it with some people and I cracked up. I'm not even just saying me, but I was. I thought I came off all right, but I was surprised that there was so much quality joke writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys know jokes. It's very hard to get that level, like a high hitting percentage everyone had.
That quick, too. Short, concise. Oh. They were hitting hard.
You especially. Very tight. You were knocking them out.
Oh, thank you.
Great ones.
The thing is, I'm supposed to do okay. Like, I'm a comedian, and
right.
then you're the roast master, which is a weirder thing, because I've only seen one roast. I saw Bieber, and I only saw it 2 weeks ago. I always knew they were brutal. I'd hear their jokes on Stern, Whitney, Amy Schumer. Like, I heard about these people, Lisa Lampanelli, just from Stern playing jokes. I was always like, wow, those are rough, but clever. And that's what you want. You want some cleverness and some roughness. And then when you have like someone like Jewel or Peyton Manning, you expect nothing. And so when they do well, that's even better.
Right.
Because people were sort of during the week going, oh, what a bunch of ragtag group of, you know, the expendables up here.
Yeah.
But everyone,
don't forget Ralph Macchio,
brought good jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was very happy that it worked out.
Has there been fallout on the day after? I'm curious before we go into it. Is there?
I know. I'm sorry. I mean, it's fun to just go right into it because it's too.
No, it is. But I'm
easy to talk about.
I'm very curious if there is the day after, if people is there fallout?
There's two waves. There's the night we do it, which is probably a half hour longer than that. And then everyone walks out of there like battered, like, you know, you see people after UFC fights at their after party just staring because they just got the shit kicked out of them. They're like, hey, I got a Vicodin. I'm supposed to be at, you know, Studio 54, which is a real one. And they're out of it. But that's way I walked out of there like days going, oh, my God, I took so many lefts. I was begging for rights. But then that wave of like, I can't believe you said this and you said that. And then the wave of after everyone sees it, which is
right.
today. But I was getting blowed up during the whole thing. And then Twitter, I'd look to see what people thought. And it was really nice. Like, I had so much activity and so many people watching from all over. It was fun. Fun to be a part of it because I was scared to be a part of it. I didn't want to be roasted ever. I thought it's actually good money, but it's hard to take that much of a hit. Roastmaster, I thought I could handle that because you only get a piece of it.
Yeah.
Still was nervous and don't want to hear about all my, you know, problems.
Yeah, you took some hits too.
Yeah, and some got cut, but it was hard. And, you know, and also Roastmaster, you're not just walking out and starting to assassinate people. You know, it's welcome to the show. You're like a host, and I have to ease into the rough stuff.
That's true.
So by the end of my stuff, it was rougher. So I sort of just layered it like cutesy. And then because the first roast person, it's like, now it's on. They're like, hey, which one's Rob Lowe? This fucking asshole? Okay. And then now it's going. Like, they don't even warm up. It's just like, hey. And that's why I thought it's a peculiar position to be in. And then I like that when I would bring someone up, then now the ice is broken. You can sort of go after them as you bring them up.
Right.
So I did about four for each person. We kept two, you know.
Well,
that's so awesome.
And another trick people don't know is we don't see the other person. So when I go in there, I say hi to Rob at rehearsal. They escort Rob out so he can't see me.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what Rob's doing. And I don't know what Nikki Glaser's doing. So you're sitting there going, am I too tame? Or let me just see what they're doing.
Huh,
but you don't get to. And I sort of like the fun of that because then you start at the beginning going, oh, shit, mine's not rough enough. Oh, my God, they're going this deep, this fast. And that's what people probably think, that they get caught up going, oh, what can they say on their feet? Because now it's on the monitor. It's on the teleprompter.
Well, we'll get to this in the interview run because I want to talk
about
Ann Coulter, too, who today is also saying that she was edited poorly.
Right.
And but we'll get to that. So our first round is where Theo and I each have a couple minutes to tell a story about something that's happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
Theo, you've been gone in New York for a couple weeks. I hope you came back with a bunch of stories.
I did. Well, I came back with one. Ari, can I get 3 minutes on the clock? So I'm sober now, and I'll tell you how it started, right? So about 55 days ago, that's when you know exactly how sober you are.
Exactly. You're skinnier, right?
Yeah, leaning out a little bit, man. That's probably the blocaine leaking out of my system. Yeah. So I had gone to a fashion show in New York, and then I get into this taxi cab, and in the morning I'd be on the Opie and Jim Norton radio show, two men that I totally admire.
Right.
And admire, that's what, like, admiring, that's, you know, it's, you know, when someone's better than you and you still like them. So I got to go in there at 1:30, I leave this party, and I get in this taxi cab with this Asian gal. She's headed the same direction. So she lays down in my lap.
Is this Uber pool or is it a...
it's just an old-fashioned taxi. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, you knew this girl,
sharing
though.
A cab.
You were sharing a cab.
We were both in the same party.
Oh, gotcha.
So she's like, I'm going this way. I was like, I'm going this way. She gets down. She lays in my lap. She puts her head in my lap.
Fuck, when does this ever happen?
I know. I'm like, yes, New York.
Sure.
So we're cruising, dude. She puts her head in my lap. We're cruising, and she starts saying she hates her boyfriend. She says this. She's like,
she
likes your wiener.
She says what happens in taxis stays in taxis.
She does not.
I swear to God.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, that's pretty specific.
Yes.
We're in a taxi.
That also means she's been in quite a few taxis.
She's been in quite a few things. I've seen her on porn, by the way. Just a spoiler alert.
Metermaids.com.
There you go.
So anyway, I try to make a move on her. She pushes me off, right? Totally rejects me. Called me a creep, pervert, right? So the taxi lets her out at probably like a fucking halfway house for complete cunts, I'm guessing. and we head off.
I guess
off,
we
right?
can swear.
Go yeah, ahead. Sorry about that. We can edit that out. So we start cruising, and the driver said something about drugs. He could have said thugs. I don't know what he said, but I thought he said drugs. And I was like, let's go get some cocaine. That's what I said to him.
With the driver?
Yeah. And Luigi. But anyway, so
sounds
we start.
Sounds like a great guy. Yeah,
yeah, we start cruising to North Harlem, bro.
Yeah, this story's gone.
I mean, it's to say it's not. It's, I'm no, not proud
I'm,
of it.
It's
the story. So it gets totally wild. But so Luigi gets out. I'm sitting in the back. He goes and gets some drugs, and he gets back into the taxi. Me and him sit in the back of the taxi cab and do drugs for about probably 45 minutes together, doing cocaine together. And he says, like, Luigi, you know, Luigi, and I was like, Teodoro, which I thought meant Theodore, but it means I adore you.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
No,
yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So anyway,
the story has some twists and turns. I like it.
So anyway, 40 minutes we're sitting back there. We're getting pretty looped up. And then he's like, I got a gift for you. And I'm thinking like a gift, like one of those things on your phone, you know, like
a gift.
Because he goes, picture. I got a gift.
Like a disappointed walrus.
I have meme.
Yeah. I have meme. prostitute knocks on the door, right? Prostitute then gets in the car and kind of like a, I don't want to say Spanish, but kind of smoky looking. So she gets in the car and I don't want a prostitute. I don't want, I'm not, I mean, I don't want that. I just want drugs.
Dick
really.
Doesn't work. I'm
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. My dick's like, dude, totally Groundhog Day, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, just Punxsutawney filling back into my nuts. So I get out of the taxi because I feel uncomfortable with the prostitute doing cocaine in the street. Luigi and the prostitute are doing drugs in the car.
You draw the line there.
Yeah, wow.
Well, then I get back in the taxi. Luigi and the prostitute, he asked me for $100 for the prostitute. And I don't want to get angry, so of course I give the 100. Yeah.
Oh.
Now, they're doing drugs in the back of the car. I sit back into the car, right in the front seat. They're doing drugs. Luigi starts getting a blowjob from this prostitute, who I still think, honestly, could have been a man, had on huge sunglasses.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there trying to quietly do drugs in the front, which is pretty hard. If you never try to quietly do cocaine, it's just like, it's like the hardest thing to do.
Barely smelling it. I know. It's hard.
So fast forward, a cop goes by, another car goes by, and I make the choice. Luigi's like, let's go, let's go. I make a choice to move into the driver's seat and drive us 8 blocks in a taxi that I paid for. With
a prostitute while high on drugs.
And allegedly gay sex crimes in the back, right?
Wow.
And you know, this one I knew I had a problem was when
my brain said, there's
a nice denouement. My brain said, you don't have a commercial driver's license. That's what it said to me. Like, dude, you don't have a CDL. That's why you can't do this.
Wow.
So I pulled over, took another taxi. It's about 5:30 a.m. Get to my hotel room. I have to go to Opie and Jim Norton radio show. Get there at 6:30.
You're still wired, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, geez. Horribly. I mean, and really scared, in a bad state. Really admire these guys. Don't want to lose this opportunity to work with them and be around them. And the other guest for the day is Daryl Strawberry.
Oh, jeez.
Who is in the Hall of Fame for cocaine.
Yes. Oh, jeez.
And
You have actually talked about him?
He's in the Hall of Cane.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Cane. So needless to say, that's when
and
I realized
you're like Doc Gooden next to him, like jittery jiggery. And he's like, what's that? And he can spot it a mile away. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He knew that I was,
he
a,
gets, okay.
I was a all foul right. ball. So he, wow. could, well, he was smelling me like a drug dog. And that's when I realized that I had to,
okay.
started going to meetings.
Good for you, man. Good for you. That's quite a story.
So it's kind of a personal story, yeah. but so
let's hear about you at LA Fitness.
Okay, my story involves a celebrity named Kerry Washington, who is awesome. She's actually a really, really sweet chick.
Sweetheart.
And so, you know, I cover events and stuff, and this was last Christmas. I was at an ABC party where they kind of like make the ABC stars go and talk to the journalists, and they're miserable. You know, it's like one of those things. So I knew Kerry from hanging out before, and so we ended up chatting a bunch, and she was really sweet. And then I said, hey, can I get an autograph? She's like, come on, you want my autograph? We've hung out before. I said, it's not for me. And she says, who's it for? I was like, all right, you want me to be honest? She said, yeah. I said, okay, I met this guy on Facebook. His name's Kanan. He's in the military. He lives in San Diego. He told me that he's a big fan of yours. And so I figured I'd get the autograph. And she just looks at me. And then she goes, I got you. I was like, awesome, yeah. So she signs it and she said, she signs an autograph. Kanan, you better give him what he wants. Love Kerry Washington.
Nice.
Awesome, right?
Nice.
So I take a picture of it. He's really excited. Long story short, I find out he's in a relationship. I never meet the guy.
No.
It goes to complete waste. In fact, the autograph's sitting on my desk. But about, I don't know, like 5 months later, I go to the premiere of this movie she did called Confirmation. I bring this guy that I'm a straight guy, a friend of mine. And I go up to her.
Buzzkill.
Straight guys are
straight
trying.
Guys suck. Ugh. I want this guy to be gay, but he's not. And so I go up to her, and she says, hey, how you doing? I said, good, good. And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I said, this is Matt. His name was Matt. And she goes, oh, Matt, I thought his name was Kanan. And I was like, no, no, no. And she goes, this is the guy? And I was like,
no,
what?
No, no.
And she goes, I made this happen, and the guy doesn't know the story or the background at all. So he's just like, what's going on? And I'm like looking at him like, Just play along.
To make the awkwardness and she goes, go away.
She goes, ah, give me a high five. Love wins. She says, love wins, which was really sweet. And I was like, yeah. And then so I just kind of like bring Matt closer to me and I kind of put my arm around him and he's looking at me like, what the hell's going on? And then he started catching on. So she's like, have you guys been together since, you know, that thing? And he's like, Yeah, sure.
What do you think that thing is? AIDS?
What?
Excuse me?
My bad. Did I take a wrong turn? My headphones aren't.
Yeah,
on.
Your headphones.
It's
are
the headphones.
Yeah, you might be hearing a different story. Yeah,
your taste is a little off too.
Yeah.
But
You can tell me the rest.
Get out of these taxis. Yeah.
This story did not begin or end with AIDS. Yeah. Okay.
My bad. So good. I'm glad you're well.
So she was just like, she's like, all right, let's bring it in for a group hug, and she hugs the three of us. And then she's like, I'm so happy for her. And she walks away. And the guy's like, what just happened? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, he's like, did you tell her that we're dating? And I was like, no, it was this other story. But thank you for playing along. But now she thinks we're dating. And he's like, hey, you know, worse things could happen. So
she remembered.
It's a true story. She remembered. And she was very proud of what she did, even though it wasn't as it should be. So you have to pick your
right. Your pick. Okay, so... I heard a lot today. I heard a lot from both of you. Stories both had ups and downs, twists and turns. Both had a romantic thing in there.
Teodoro.
With men.
Teodoro. With men, they always do.
Teodoro means blow me right now. I have a gun. It's the worst translation ever. You just mean hi, and it means you're under arrest. So you... I like yours because it ultimately, it's sort of a trick because he ultimately led to this happy ending
where
he's like
true.
Off booze and coke for the time being. And
for the time being.
Yeah. Positive energy.
Yours was more like a grab bag story that was good, but you didn't know he'd come in deep with this one.
I did not.
I'm sure every week they're more casual stories, not like...
He's been away for a month and a half.
Oh, that's right.
Building
oh,
stories.
Back.
So.
Yeah.
New York, so I'm happy to be back.
So what are you saying, David?
Well, you dropped Jim and Anthony. Is that what it's called? Jim and Opie?
Yeah, Jim and Opie.
And those guys in the radio show, which is a great show. And you had Kerry Washington, which you won that one. That side
okay.
of the story.
Yes.
Because I love Kerry, too. And she's very sweet
she is
and fun. And that
isn't
is
she?
Nice that she went along. That's very sounds like her, I guess.
Yes.
I give it to him because he hasn't been here for a while. And we got to, you know, keep him. Ego propped during this difficult
right.
time.
Congratulations,
ego building.
Theo.
Thank you very
and you know
much,
what?
David.
I support your sobriety. That's
thank
great.
You. He had
good
to buy
you.
Small shirts now from XLs or whatever.
Yeah. Just losing weight here. Losing time.
Well,
thank you, David.
Congratulations on that.
All right.
Now.
Hey, it's Theo Von, the current winner of this episode, and I'll be in Dallas, Texas at the Addison Improv performing this weekend, September 15th through 18th. That's right, at the Addison Improv. You can get tickets at theovon.com/tour or at the Addison Improv website. Now for round two.
Round two, which is the interview segment.
Yeah.
Let's pick up where we left off.
I'm going to start then.
Okay, you can start.
Did you feel like they were mean to Ann Coulter?
It's a good question. I feel like in that room... In Hollywood, she's already going to have an uphill battle, obviously. I don't even know enough about politics to hate her as much as everyone hated her in that room. I just know she's like the bad guy and this and that. But I was sort of back and forth going, yes, it's a roast. Yes, she does know what she's getting into,
of
pretty
course.
Much.
Right.
But on a professional side, when it's all in good fun, like I'm laughing at my jokes about Rob Lowe because I like the guy and... You know, people are cutting me down. I don't think they hate me. Mm-mm. But when there's hate in there and you really, some of those guys fucking hated her. And, you know, half hour of the roast got cut out. A lot of C words got cut out. But when you're just walking up there calling someone a cunt, it's a different ball game. And my mom's watching. So I think, Jesus, what's going on here? It was a little much, but I don't want to be a pussy about it. It is a roast, and I wasn't there to feel bad for Ann Coulter. But you almost couldn't help it just being a human.
Yeah.
Because right. she's sitting there like a shaky leg colt. Even when she went up. Like, you see the confidence Jewel has doing her jokes?
Yeah.
She's got a guitar, which made her feel more comfortable. And she's got an articulate speaking voice. She says jokes perfectly. She's calm. and she's nailing people, like quietly sniping everyone. And you're like, holy shit, Jewel. Like, these are great jokes. And again, writers, all those writers there were fucking great. And then Ann Coulter shakes up the podium. By the way, I hit her three times on the way. She's like, God damn, let me just get my legs. I mean, she's been hit. Then the nice guy, me, hits her again. And then no hug, no kiss. You know, Jewel, of course, I hug, and everyone else, it's like, just hey, hug. All in good fun.
Yeah, Jewel later.
Yeah, Jewel with her. No, I gave her a hug, even though I said, you don't have to talk to me after this. I obviously, it's obviously all eight of us are never speaking again after this. That's what I said in rehearsal. I go, obviously.
But whenever. People were mean to her. It felt mean to watching Anne. It. Yeah.
Well, but she puts herself, I mean, yeah. A, the things she stands for are horrible. B, it's not because she stands by these things secretly. She puts her point of view out there to be judged.
Right. She sort of invites this.
I
don't know if she was ready for that avalanche, because I did like when she said it's the Ann Coulter Rose. That was a joke that would have gotten more laughs if they liked her.
Right.
But they were like stonewalling her.
Yeah.
And I thought they'd add laughs, you know, to sweeten it up, help her out, no chance. Didn't help her with those fucking Mount Rushmore cutaways either.
No, no.
Like Maria Shriver. I was like, is this from a different night? Like, it looked like they were just picking these dead silent, like before it started.
Yeah.
Because people were just staring. I go, oh. Her cutaways were half the battle. Like, yeah. Going, oh my God.
So, ergo, the editing could have some kind of a, not a case, but she could have a point in the editing.
I think there was an argument to let her sort of hang herself in the editing, like do exactly what she did. Which, like, Jeff Ross went a little longer. We all did a little longer. They tightened everybody a little bit, tightened and brightened. But with her, they could have really helped her out and taken out some of the air, some of the cutaways. But I think they wanted to give it a fair assessment of what that night was. So, you know, leave in some of the stuff. I thought when she said, all these people here and it's not an Obama fundraiser, that was like a funny joke.
She had some good jokes.
But people sort of chilled her on it. And I thought anyone else there would have gotten a bigger laugh from that.
It was a losing battle from the get-go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Pushing a boulder uphill. And then she got shakier. And I was like,
did she? Physically, she looked shakier.
Well, it looked like.
Yeah. She looked like in some of those cutaways.
Because she's sort of frail. But listen, if she was black and a Republican, would you get a different reaction if you're being really mean? You know what I mean? It's a woman. There's always those things. It's a woman. It's a minority. I think if you're a white guy, everything's fine.
Right.
That's true.
That's I'm going to get hammered all day because I represent, first I'm old and I'm sort of rich. I look like an Exxon board member. That's all people see me, that most hated guy in America. Like, oh, you're white, you have a little money, oh, fuck you. Like, I have no sympathy anywhere across the board. So everyone else is like, you got to protect these people. But like, fat people still get hit. Still, you know what I mean? There's still a few you can go after. But I think Anne was... I don't even really know what my opinion is because I was sitting there and shocked and cringing. Rob Riggle and I were going, I can't look back at her. I cannot.
Wow.
Because when they were hitting her and she was right behind us, I'm like, I can't even, because I feel like, what do you say? I don't want to be your buddy.
Right.
But as a fellow roaster, you know, you have a camaraderie. Like if you did a bad set, I'd tell, just because I know other comedians, even if I don't know them. But she just was sort of an outcast of the gang.
Is she attractive? Because I have seen her in person once and I'm not, she's not unattractive, right?
Well, you like, and I mean, I've seen you with some beautiful blonde women over the years here and there.
Oh, you can't bang Ann Coulter. Not allowed.
I don't know if I'd throw her exactly in that group, but
I would not allow
her. She does have blonde hair. And she is thin.
Is she sexy?
Usually the beginning of my type.
That's the question.
No, because if no one would believe it, but I do like the personality on girls. And when they, just a vibe or a demeanor and a general disposition. And that one makes me nervous. And she's so tough. I think she would probably always want to fight you on things. And she's like, she starts shit. And she got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Well, I wanted to ask, I mean, there was jokes. Like where, there were AIDS jokes. There was 9/11 jokes.
Ugh.
Where's the line? Is there a line? And do you have to be conscious of that?
That's sort of a self-discipline because... When you don't know who else, what other people's jokes are, I have no idea how deep Rob Lowe is going to go. He might be very pleasant to everyone. And then you feel bad. Go, oh my God, I really went after him. And it is a roast. But in your own head, they write a lot of jokes. I write a little bit, you know, but we had some help, obviously. And then they write, I had some, Adam Egett found me a few Comedy Store people.
Yeah.
Who are great. And then, of course, they hire the best people. So you're literally getting emails of like 50 jokes and then the next day 100 jokes. So you have to pick the ones that fit your personality that you think you can deliver best. And you might lose some gems and they might kick them to someone else. One I was going to do, Peyton did.
Oh, really?
Because I kicked it out early and it was a good one, but he picked it up and it was good. But I go, I'm going to go with these and sort of build up to rougher and rougher. And this is about how far I can go. And everyone has to make that decision. But some of it, it's
up
to him.
What's the line for you?
Mine, I think that Trayvon joke was about as far as I can go.
Gotcha.
And because I only did it because it's about her saying that. Right. It's not me. You know what I mean? She hasn't laughed this hard. So, but I was a little worried. But when you look at the whole thing, it doesn't even really stand out.
Nice.
Right. Just, there's
That's true.
Much shit going on. I like Ashy's skin about Pete Davidson's dad.
The 9/11.
Because they wrote me like, this is, if your dad was here, it'd be his second roast. There's all these jokes about that. But I thought that was just a clever backdoor way in by saying, are you black? I don't know. Oh, you maybe have your dad's ashy skin from the 9/11.
Yeah.
And I thought that was out of the ones they wrote for me was the most clever, but not directly on the head.
Right, right.
I like those kind of jokes. I mean, there was a couple I came across your picture, ones you don't see coming like that, or just like, stupid ones. I mean, basically, after three jokes, I'm like, these aren't compliments. Holy shit. Like, it's not even right. mean. It's like, you fuck so many. Oh, one of them I think they took out was, I go, you were one of people's 50 most beautiful people, and you fucked the other 49. And I'm like, why are we doing this joke? It's nice.
Was it awkward, though? Like, when you do the thing, is and especially when they bring up, like, the nanny or, like, jokes about that with him, is it does it get awkward in the...
I hit him up that day, and I said, is your wife and kids coming in? And he said, yeah, it's going to be great. I haven't seen him in a while. And I said, okay, I'm going to take... I took out a nanny joke.
Yeah.
Just because... Now, I didn't know there was other ones. And... That's my decision.
Right.
It doesn't mean Jeff Ross won't do one and those guys. And, you know, his wife was. And they cut to her on one of them.
It was awkward to watch.
Oh.
I just, like,
Who's
I could
the
feel
editor?
It.
Stalin?
But people love it. I mean, the roast is such a particular thing that.
That's what it's for.
You go, oh, the cutaways are brutal. Fucking, if you're in the room, it's brutal. That's why people shy away. No Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
I'm sure she does. You think she's going to sit through that shit? When you get all these comics that can take a free shot at her.
That's murder.
And it makes them look better than her because she'll look stupid and they'll be like on some website going, oh, they did a great joke.
I'm a champ.
Like, hey, Gwyneth, you twat, you know, whatever. And they were like, oh, great job.
David, were you shocked at how, because I've done a smaller roast before with like people like Octomom. I did one time with like Tila Tequila, a bunch of like D-list
Octomom,
celebrities, right?
Octomom, Tila Tequila.
Remember her,
Couldn't
though?
Pick two funnier ones out of the bag.
Wow. But I can't imagine jokes coming from those.
But the idea of the jokes in advance was a lot easier than delivering those jokes in person when got there and they were sitting there. Did that surprise you as to...
Yes, because I used to do Hollywood Minute on Saturday Night Live, and it was so much easier just to say them than I had that thing with Eddie Murphy, because, you know, you just forget. I'm just there to be funny. I don't really think of the consequences. But when you hear jokes about yourself, they all laugh, and you sit there for like 2 minutes buzzing in your head going, what the fuck did they say? What? Wait, I'm the worst actor? So you don't realize there's casualties. And when I said those to Ann Coulter and she walked right by me, no hug, I was like, oh, and then I tiptoe away like this. I see Pete Davidson, I go, because I couldn't get away fast enough. I thought, what a dick. You're supposed to go, you know, you're used to the Comedy Store. David Spade, he's up for a Golden Globe, Emmys, he's the greatest comic in the world.
Build it up.
Meanwhile, the exact opposite. This bitch.
What? Well, I did put a thing on social media and one person asked, they said with the Chris Farley joke that you didn't look too happy about that in a cutaway. Did that offend you? Any of them? I think the one they were, the stress about carrying.
That's actually a pretty funny joke. I think I just wasn't good at fake laughing, even in real life. I would just smile and go, that's a good joke or something. Right. But it didn't offend me on that level. I knew there was some I heard earlier in the week that might happen that were pretty rough. But sometimes I think someone was going to say, you're buried in the casket, your career is with Chris Farley. And you go, oh. But it strikes you as like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little rough. It's not hysterical.
Right.
So I don't know if I should go, wah.
Right.
Peyton was a great laugher.
Yeah, he was.
Nikki Glaser was a great laugher. I actually laughed at my cutaways because I wouldn't laugh. Then I just make a weird face at the end, and then I start laughing because I was just being real. I'm like,
right,
thinking about the joke, going, all right, like, okay. Or I would just laugh right away, but it's hard to have that plastered on smile for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they hang on you too long, Peyton was on me too long. I'm like, okay, guy, there's 10 other people here. What the fuck?
So it's safe to say you will not have relationships with these people, like friendships, most likely.
I know. I'm shocked because I'm such an asshole that I'm shocked that I still was cool to everybody after.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Cool. Because I thought, I guarantee you, I think Kevin Hart said, you know, because he roast mastered last year, and I go, is it? Are some of the jokes tough? He goes, you'll remember like who was really meant it. Mm. And then it always sticks in your head. He said most of them roll off your back.
Did you go to Kevin Hart for
I just did that roast battle in Canada with him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know him well, right. But I judge with him, so we got to talk about it.
Hmm.
And he's super cool about it.
If you could go back and do the roast differently, would be there be something you would do different?
Interesting. No, I was hesitant to do it. I was glad it was Rob because there was a tie-in from Tommy Boy, yeah. And I'd known a long time. But I was really happy with it. I was shocked. And then when I saw it last night, nervous again, like, what are they going to pick? How are we all going to look? What's the reaction? And then when I hear people laughing, and I've heard stuff during the week since we shot it, I probably would have kept it the same.
I want to ask about another project you have, which was one of my favorite shows of the year, which was Roadies.
Oh, okay, and Roadies, wow.
Dead Sex, man.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. And so, did you ever see Roadies?
I haven't seen Roadies, but is it Ron White's in it, right?
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
Cameron Crowe, who's my favorite director, creator, period.
Wow.
He is. Almost Famous is my favorite movie, and if I can make movies again, those are the types of movies that I would like to make.
Wow,
like
Heart.
And anyway, he Dave's on it, playing David Spade on a show called Dead Sex, which everybody on the tour bus is like addicted to this TV show.
Yeah, I'm like the fake show within the show.
How did that come about? Did they write that for you? Or like,
what? Yes. I did a book last year, the one Peyton was making fun of. Actually, everyone did. And and Cameron Crowe called me in. Actually, the best story was I saw Eddie Vedder. We did a gig in Hawaii. So me, Eddie Vedder, I think Bill Maher, and Jeff Ross. And Eddie's like, hey, my buddy wants to call. You know, one of my director buddies wants to call you. Is it possible? He's super cool. He's easygoing. My manager, Kelly, is also involved in some project they want to talk to you about. I go, oh, if 100%. Whatever he said. I just go, yeah, sure. Have him call me. And he types in Cameron Crowe or whatever he tells me. And I go, oh, that guy? I know who that guy is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he goes, yeah. And so when I get back to town, I go meet Cameron at J.J. Abrams' studio. I'm putting all these people in.
A lot of names. Oh, it's cool. A lot of names dropping
because,
there.
You know, I got my three-minute story.
Yeah.
So I realized a trick to winning. So anyway, J.J., I see J.J. out before that. He goes, hey, have you talked to Cameron yet? I go, no. And he goes, oh, okay, I think it's a cool idea. I'm like, of course I'm doing it, whatever the fuck it is. Cameron is great. So he just said, I had this idea, and it would be funny if it was you, and there's all these – it's like he said he pitched – stuff to Netflix and Showtime and HBO, and they all were wanting the same type of zombies and shot a certain way with the colors and good-looking people. And he goes, I just want to make a fake one of all of it. Like, so there's an apocalypse and only good-looking people are living, and they need an average guy because they're all dying. An average guy to mate with, but they're all gone, and then they find me somewhere. And then they go, there's one left. And so you have to fuck all these good-looking girls to keep population going, but you don't want to because you're looking for your wife. And he goes, that's funny because it's you, and you don't want to fuck all these girls. Yeah, and I go, hey, I love it. And I go, it just sounds funny anyway.
Well, I love that show.
That was lucky because Cameron, again, yeah. Like,
that's awesome.
I have a quick story about him that
– yeah.
When I did SNL, he reminded me of this. When I did SNL, I was doing Hollywood Minute, and I'm walking out by the page desk during a show. And they said, oh, this is Cameron Crowe. First time I met him, and I go, oh, hey. And then he goes, this is my wife. And as I'm panning my head over, I go, his wife is famous, I think. And I go, oh, no, wait. And it's Nancy from Heart.
Nancy Wilson.
The band Heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
met her one time.
Not married anymore, though, I don't believe.
No. I don't think so. I think they're split. But
yes.
I love Heart. Again, I'm making fun of everyone on the show, and I love them. So Heart's one of my favorite bands, my first concert. So I'm like, hey, and she goes, you said something really shitty about my sister. And I go, oh. She goes, I should murder you. And I go, And then I go, you know, you make a Hollywood Minute omelet, you got to break some eggs. You know, I don't know what I said. I was just like, what the fuck? And then I sort of backtracked, like Woody Allen, like, nice to meet you. You know, I'm going to get back to my nothing sketches I'm not in. And so I took off, and then Cameron said, do you remember that? I said, yes, I do. It was horrifying.
Wow.
Because I said on a joke, if Stevie Nicks gets any fatter, they're going to make her an honorary member of Heart. Oh. By the way, hit them both. They're like, oh, like Stevie yeah. Nicks got hit. She got hit. And so that was the old days. That was real edgy. And and I love Stevie Nicks. So it was yeah. wow. double whammy.
Wow, man. That's awesome.
That's a good story. Yeah. And those women can get a bit Rubenesque around the shoulders.
Those women?
I've run into them a couple years ago.
Around the shoulders.
Did you get, sorry.
You have, is it a follow-up question?
It's a follow-up question. Okay, speaking of Hollywood, A, do you miss Hollywood Minute, that sort of stuff? And B, like you mentioned the Eddie Murphy thing. Did you learn something from that? Like, did that make you step, aside from this roast,
yeah.
step away a little?
He would not like the roast.
No. oh, my God, but I would pay to see him roasted.
Yeah. God, I think they want to roast Kanye. That would be a great one.
Oh,
he would want it, too.
And he can handle it. He doesn't care.
Oh, he'll do it. I think you just got your next gig.
He'd ruin it.
He would actually do something weird. Something.
Yeah, I think it actually would make it less cool. Anyway.
But did I learn anything? I like that style of Hollywood Minute type jokes, but then it's sort of, when I did that, it was the era of People magazine. So there's only People, and it was just kissing ass to celebrities. So when I start saying stuff like that, everyone's like, wait, what? These are our gods. So then Entertainment Weekly came along, and they were a little snarky. And then it just turned into a thing, like you're allowed to do that, and you're allowed to make fun and shit on them and openly and... And so I sort of just did whatever else. And last night was probably, I mean, the roast is probably the first time I even did really jokes like that. You know, we have to think about it and a person and like a target.
Right.
And I liked it. It was fun. It was fun to see if I could just blend in and not look shitty, you know, with everybody.
Right.
So that was the fun of it.
Mm, that's cool.
I didn't mind it. I don't think I'll do it. I don't know if I'll do it again, but it was a one-shot deal to take a few hits.
Yeah.
And,
I have a question. It's on a different topic. It's on the Joe Dirt movie topic. Mm-hmm. As a younger boy, I thought Joe Dirt was real. Actually, I thought it was a documentary.
That's true. He did.
Yeah.
And I want to know.
A lot of people thought that. Not one person.
Really?
No, maybe because kids. Someone said that they told him their dad was Joe Dirt, and then he thought it the whole time. Something weird like that. Go ahead.
Well, I know. And when his parents left him at the Grand Canyon, I always like. That's resonated with me for a while. And I'm just wondering, did foster kids like identify with you and that character specifically?
I don't know. I think that was sort of, Joe Dirt was one of the ones I hear a lot about and I always try to figure it out. But I think it's, I play these snarky sort of asshole characters and that was the first time it was sort of an endearing, nice person. Like everyone's being mean to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to keep positive and go forward.
Right.
And it really hits a nerve a lot of people. It sounds crazy because it's just a dumb movie, but the feedback I've gotten over the years, not since Tommy Boy. I mean, you know, you can tell in your head the ranking of how much you hear about each movie and what matters and what doesn't. But I hear about that easily second and more number one lately because Tommy Boy, after so long, you just stop hearing. But I love it. I think we got lucky. It came off nice and it had some dumb jokes, just that whole tone. We were trying to be like Raising Arizona or something, and it all sort of fell together for what the movie is. I'm not saying it's the greatest movie ever, but I was really proud of it. So I love that it hit a nerve with people like you, even like me. When I watch it, I get welled up because you just feel bad for a guy and he's trying to do a good thing, but there's a bunch of dumb jokes throughout. So that I love having a couple things out there that people like, and I think foster kids hopefully would feel good about that. Like they're still good people and they're still going to go out there and try to do their life and it doesn't define you. You know, all that stuff. I mean, it sounds like heavy, but...
Yeah, no, but no.
How did you feel about doing Joe Dirt 2 and after that was made? And do you I honestly...
You don't know if it's good or bad, right?
I haven't seen it, so I don't know if it's good or bad. I've seen the first one,
right?
And I love the first one, so I just wonder...
There's definitely people scared to see the second one.
that's the honest to God truth.
They don't want to ruin it. So I went by Twitter when we did it. I'd probably say after we put it on Crackle... It blew up on Crackle, which is great. The thing about Crackle is we weren't allowed to do it anywhere but Sony. They own it.
Gotcha.
So when people said, why did you go to Crackle, of all things? It's because they own it, and Sony owns Crackle. So they said, we want to do it the only way we're letting you do this, if you do it here, because we want to pump up Crackle. Mm. So it'll get people to come over there. So after a while, me and Fred Wolf, who wrote it with me, we were like, let's just do it, because we were going to do it right after that. And then they did Deuce Bigelow 2. It didn't work.
Right.
So they pulled it. Then they did Pink Panther 2.
Right.
And that didn't work, so they pulled it again. So we just left it alone. And then we said, yeah, let's try it. So we did our best with a lower budget to put all the jokes in and do everything. I actually really like it. You won't get people saying it's better than the first one, but there's a good chunk of my feedback. By the way, my fans don't give a fuck. They're like, you fucking are horrible on this. Or, and I'm like, are you sure you're one of my fans?
My mom's a big fan of yours. So yeah. That sounds about right.
So they say when it's good or bad, but right after it's on Crackle, I got probably 80% really nice things said about it. Because there are jokes throughout. Because it's me and Fred who did the first one. So I'm like, get rid of that. No, that's good. I think that's funny. That's a weird run. Maybe they'll like that. We did our best. You can't get as good as music. You can't get everything. You can't get the people. We had to take out set pieces while we're shooting because of budget.
Yeah. Mm.
So we're getting like that curveball. Like, hey, by the way, we can't afford
this iceberg.
Or the carnival. We're like, well, I go from here to there. So we had flashbacks and stuff. So we're on our feet going, well, we're in it now. We're pregnant. We got to finish it. So some of it was jumping around, but we put Dennis Miller in there to explain stuff because he was in the first one. And he says stupid shit. But I saw it yesterday for the first time since it came out because it was on all day before the roast. And I cracked up at a few things. So I guess it's every person will decide. But I don't hate it. There's no way. I mean, I've... Like Grown Ups 2, I liked, but I've done stuff I don't like. I won't say, but there's definitely ones I go, ugh.
Right.
So if you had to leave a kid like at a national monument, where do you think you would leave a child?
Grand Canyon's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably an easy getaway. I was from Arizona. I wonder why we said Grand Canyon, of all places. Maybe that was Fred's. Fred's from Montana. I'm from Arizona.
A lot of national monuments in both of those.
Yeah.
Or in that North Dakota area, all that.
Oh, I think, where was the Mount Rushmore? I already did a joke around Mount Rushmore today.
South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Hot topic.
I went to Pierre, South Dakota. We grew up and we were both dirt balls and Joe Dirt started. We were talking about guys with long hair with like a gas can and no shirt walking on the street. You know, you'd see every day.
Yeah.
I saw a guy walking around with his shirt in his back pocket. And he was looking for a job. He had applications. And I'm like, are you really going to get a job as a bank teller and without your shirt? And they go, they know when I get the job, I'll wear a shirt.
Like, they know that.
Yeah. Like, I'm not putting it on for this, but they know. Like, and that's sort of the attitude. So that was more of a crystal meth dealer. So we had to PG-13 it down because those guys are more like that.
Yeah.
But we made him just a little nicer with a girlfriend. And that Brittany Daniels got...
Oh, yeah.
A lot of attention.
From oh, yeah.
People still fawning over.
I still think about her sometimes in my head.
She's so, and she's still around. She's still gorgeous, and she's still on all these shows. And she did the second one. She's great. I see her all the time.
Did you, whenever I think that when you're brought up, people, you are known for dating a lot of beautiful women. And I think people always want to know what the key is. Is there a secret to your success? And by the way, did you know that there is... Do you know what Ranker is?
Mm-mm.
It's a website that ranks things. Okay. You have your own Ranker list.
Oh, I do?
Of women that you've hooked up with. And it's actually the audience can rank them.
Yeah, do you ever just try to smell your own dick sometimes? Like, I would.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ, sir.
Is that crazy?
Sorry. No.
What's your secret, David? There's,
yeah, what's first the of secret all, sauce, sort of, dude?
It's obviously winding down. If you say you're 50 in this town to a girl's 24, you might as well say you're 100. They're like, what the fuck? Like, if they're normal. But if when you're out here long enough, the girls realize it's just even. Once you're an adult, it's like, obviously, you're pretty. Chris Rock said, you know, they don't even know you're hitting on them anymore. Like, this is, we're so old. because he got divorced. Fine. Right. He's like, we're so old. Girls don't even know if you're hitting on them. They're like, it's such a gap now. So just a message to all girls. If any guy's nice to you for any reason, they're hitting on you. But I don't have any tricks, and it doesn't always go well. I think you hear the highlights, but I get I get fucking shut down right and left. But I think I'm sort of normal, and if you can be just consistently sort of normal in a town of fucking psychotic people, yeah, you stand out just for that.
That's true.
Like, reliable, not a fucking total asshole, not psycho drug addict, not flashing money and all the shit. I think they just get bored of that. But no one's running across the room to fuck me. I mean, it takes time. Like, there's, I was never that guy where, like you're that guy. Like, he gets chicks that just like, this guy's hot.
I got Luigi.
Okay. Now, listen, you could have closed in that cat. You walked away from it. So there's no real formula other than it's getting older is not really helping things.
Is there one that you that got away that you never went after? Or?
I went hard early on, really tried, like, poured it on and got burned so many times that eventually I got a little calloused and just said, the more disinterested I finally got, it sort of worked. Huh. I'm like, oh shit, is this how it's gonna work when you actually don't care?
Yeah.
And then they come around. So it's such a crazy psychological thing.
So now are you looking for love, or
I was seeing someone for a long time, and then we just stopped. So I'm out kicking tires. And you know,
did you ever try to bang Princess Diana?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. she wasn't always in Poster Arizona pre. At the fucking Blimpies or whatever. You know?
Where were you at, in Tucson?
Scottsdale.
Oh, right on.
She wasn't always at all the dog shit places that hung out. But
did you see her ever?
Lady Di? I think she lives in England. Like, no, she was never over in my parts.
She wasn't in the SNL. No.
Never came to SNL.
Did you think she was hot, though?
In sort of a bags under her eyes cute way. I think she's sweet. Like, Rob went out with Princess Stephanie or Carol.
Yeah,
or something.
He did.
Wow.
I go, did you really? He goes, cover People magazine. I go, oh, okay, guy. I go, I wasn't going to look it up, but I buy it.
All right.
Okay, is that it? We did good, though, right?
I got one more question, and this is a fun question. So one of our fans asked, Ana Lucia Riglos, do you get free Kate Spade stuff? Do you get to pick whatever you want and just give it as gifts? And
what about Ann Coulter burning me about that?
You have to have a code online that you use, though, right?
They sold it.
But
it is nice to go into a Kate Spade store and get props because they know you're the family that started it.
So then, do they like give you a bag?
I never even ask. I mean, they always back in the day. Sure, I used to joke. When Laura Flynn Boyle and I went out in the old days, she goes, dude, give me something for my birthday. And not some fucking Kate Spade regular that you have in a box in your garage that you'd give chicks on the way out.
Did you ever have a parting gift for chicks that hooked up with at your place?
Yeah, like Jeter. Yeah. Like, here's a Joder keychain. Here's an Emperor's New Groove throw pillow. One per customer. Kate Spade bag with two zippers accidentally on it. Can't sell them. Grab the turquoise one. I don't know what I'm doing with these girls. They figure out quickly I'm a disaster. But I'm fun at parties. That's
Look, you seem like a nice guy, man. I mean, I've run you a couple times around the store. People always say nice things about you.
Behind your back, they're saying nice things.
Not bad, right?
Yeah, good. In this town, it's good reputation.
Could be worse.
That's going to be round
two. So that wraps it up.
But Ari Manis has one question. He always fires one. And what do you have, Ari?
Oh, sure. I can think of a question. Yeah, thank you. So you've worked on a lot of hits. You've also worked on a lot of shows that didn't go places. I was wondering, when you're on set, can you feel when something's going to be just a huge success?
This is an outrage.
David just left the room.
He goes, you work some hits, you work some shits.
You know.
Can I tell? No, sometimes in movies, it's so hard to get it right. Sometimes from the script you read is really funny, and then they get a director, and then you're acting, and you're like, the sets are weird, like, I think that take wasn't great. Mm. And so you have to get it right every step of the way, to the editing, to the music, and then it finally works. It's a fucking miracle. So when they work, I can't believe it.
It's a miracle.
When they don't work, it makes more sense.
That's more of what you expect.
It's so tough to get it right. But I have been on some where I go, my hunch is this isn't going well. The bad part about it, other than it doesn't help your career, is that you do that old school press junket and just say how great it is. Everyone's rolling their eyes going, I can already tell this is a turd, dude.
Have you ever been catfished?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was wondering if it happens to famous people, too.
But there's that thing, Raya. Are you
on
Raya?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, well, I'm not. I don't have enough Instagram followers to be on Raya.
Is that how you do it?
I think so.
I'm on it. Jim Norton's on it.
Are you on it, David? On it.
You popped yourself up to Raya? Good job. That's like a credit.
Got up there. Yes, yeah. I got some pretty good recommendations.
Get that on IMDb right away. Funny. I'm scared to get on there because someone will screenshot me in my picture like this with a puppy. Like, hey, like me. I'm so nice.
Okay, so that's the end of round two.
Yeah.
You have to pick who was a better interviewer. And then we have
Really? Yes, again?
Yes, and we have a round three that is 1 minute long, and then we're going to finish it, and that's going to be the end.
Really? Only an hour 10 today? Okay. He was a better interviewer just because I felt horrible about not picking his story.
Oh, whatever.
But
it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
It was good back and forth.
That's so respectable.
I liked the whole interview, by the way.
All right, cool.
I don't know about your underwear game, but mine is tight and soft. So, ladies and gents, if yours isn't, it's time to try something better. MeUndies has created the world's most comfortable underwear with a blend of fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton. That's right, 3 times softer. When you upgrade your undies game, everyone wins. Life feels better in MeUndies. All orders in the U.S. and Canada ship for free. And if you don't love your first pair, MeUndies will pay you back and you can keep them for free. No questions asked. Support allegedly. Go to MeUndies.com/funny, F-U-N-N-Y, to get 20% off your first order and use the link so they know we sent you. That's right, MeUndies.com/funny. All right, round three.
Our tiebreaker.
Oh, boy.
And so we do mini competitions. So the competition this week is Theo and I each had to write 3 jokes, roasting jokes of one another.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you have to pick whose jokes you like better.
Oh, you get 3 to each other each. Okay.
To each other. We'll go boom, 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 and then you get to pick one. If you're cool with that.
Yeah.
Write my last one right now.
You didn't think of them ahead of time?
I tried. This is Theo. I'm not that smart.
Roast jokes are tough.
I'm not that smart.
Roast jokes are tough. Okay. I noticed. Actually, I had trouble with it.
It's hard to do.
It's really hard to do.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go with my first one.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Theo is one of the hardest working people in show business. Every day he works tirelessly to prove to Hollywood that not everything Amy Schumer touches becomes a success.
Oh.
Jeez, this is going to start a brawl. Why is it an Amy Schumer tie-in?
Ah, oh, who knows? We've all tied into some things here and there.
Oh, I get it. Oh, boy.
So Matt has the shakes. We all know it's dick withdrawals.
Okay. I like it. At least it was short. Go ahead.
Okay, mine are long. Many people don't know that Theo spends his free time showing videos at the Ronald McDonald House, which is coincidentally the only audience who can sit through his Netflix special, mostly because they're tethered to IVs and can't move.
That's not bad. These are in the form of roast jokes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I had to.
Do you really do that? Is it true?
Yeah.
What do you do with them?
Tuesday nights, man. Video night. We do movie night for the kids.
And you're nice?
Yeah, most of the movies are in Spanish, so...
Oh, are they really? I didn't know that.
I've seen Zootopia in Spanish 7 times.
Oh, okay.
Zootopia.
It has nothing to do with the contest, but that's a nice thing you did.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Matt's been in more young boys than childhood asthma. Okay, 0 for 2.
No, it's not... Yeah, we don't know it's over. You just throw the pen down.
It feels like it's over.
Yeah.
To answer your question, Ari, yes, you can tell when something you're doing isn't going
well. No. You're doing good. You're doing good.
I've got 2 that I'm going through, but I will just do this one. Theo, how does it feel to tirelessly work at the comedy scene for over a decade, performing nearly every night, and still just be known as the Southern retard from Road Rules?
He was on Road Rules.
That was a good one. He was on Road Rules.
That's cold.
I've got another one, too.
Jesus Christ, he's got backup.
I got a backup.
I don't think you're going to need it.
That wasn't even a joke.
I know, it's just a statement.
That was just me.
Okay, go ahead.
The only man from Philadelphia to put more boys on their knees is Rocky Balboa.
Oh.
I don't really get that.
I like that one.
Matt's from Philly.
Right, but what?
Because he knocked people down, I guess.
Okay.
All right.
I thought it was a guy.
That was a
like
thinker.
A
that was
a
little thinker.
Okay, well, I do have a winner in my head. Well, I can't believe you're winning, Matt, because brevity is always the best on these. When roast jokes are too long, you just feel a moment where it's just too long and you bail out.
Really?
Go, oh,
yeah,
it's too
okay.
long. Yeah. And that's why you'll see last night. It's hard to go with the long ones. But yours sort of came around, and the non-punching power of him helped yours.
Wow.
But so yours, it was a tag team effort.
No,
yours
you. Weren't bad. Look. All gay jokes, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. Maybe you should have jumped around. Showed other areas. That's a good one.
I don't feel bad because my job is to be a joke writer.
No. I'm telling you, writing roast jokes is so different and tough than writing your act. It's just a whole different world.
So, in other words, you're saying the winner of the podcast is...
Oh, I guess it was you, yeah.
Yay!
Theo wins so many things. He's fine.
David's literally out the door already.
That's a good point.
No, David, let me...
David, thanks for...
We do have a gift for
you
before
Ari.
You go. Oh, yeah, Ari.
Part seven of our last part
for both you and
of
one.
50
okay.
parts.
Okay.
All right. What is it, Ari?
The only thing with a lower viewership than your podcast, Matt, is Theo Vaughn on Arsenio Hall.
Even the jokes about me aren't funny. That's the worst
part. By the way,
part.
I really feel like maybe you guys shouldn't roast each other every week because you'll start to hate each other because it's too much about your own show and each other's careers. And it really, sometimes they sting and you go, fuck
you're
you.
You're like, well, there's something there.
Yeah, you go, oh, is that what you think all the time?
I was kidding. It was all jokes.
Yeah, it's all funny.
The one you didn't hear, that one's real.
Oh, I could have had so many jokes about you and all the bad movies you made.
Well, you should have done your work then.
I did. So. We appreciate you so much for coming in. We have a parting gift for you. This is from our sponsor.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Me Undies.
You have a sponsor?
Me Undies,
Me Undies.
Have you seen those billboards around town?
Yeah.
Janet Me Undies.
Yeah.
Very sexy. And Adam Egitt helped pick out your size as well.
Oh, boy.
So
by the way, before you go, we've got Fameless, right?
Yeah.
Fameless is going on.
We have the do-over. You can see it's on
Fameless
Netflix.
Every Monday, do-over.
Fameless every Monday on True TV.
Yeah, True TV.
Okay.
Forgot about that. Yes. It's great. I was getting tweets about it last night.
Awesome.
I love Fameless. And then there's...
The Do-Over.
The Do-Over's great. Went to the premiere. Loved it.
Oh, that's right.
It was awesome.
So you can see that.
I think that's it.
Okay.
And stand-up. All right. I'll be in Las Vegas with Ray Romano.
Wow.
September 23, 24.
Will you? September 23 and 24. Where at?
At the Mirage?
Yeah. All right. You can get tickets September 23rd and 24th. See David Spade and Ray Romano.
So thank you very much for finally coming,
guys,
David.
We did it.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
No problem.